This week on The Final Cut, Eric Banner discusses his new movie about demonic possession, Deliver Us From Evil. I ask him if, as someone brought up Catholic, he actually believes in exorcisms. But first, my thoughts on the film and a question. Has the exorcism movie had its day?
I'm telling you that that thing upstairs isn't my daughter. Now, I want you to tell me that you know for a fact that there's nothing wrong with my daughter except in her mind. You tell me you know for a fact that an exorcism wouldn't do any good. You tell me that!
Back in the golden era of movies about demonic possession, films like The Exorcist and The Omen grappled earnestly with the idea of supernatural evil taking human form. Sure, a lot of critics derided them as schlock, but the best ones worked because they treated the subject matter without irony, or, as American critic Vincent Canby wrote, a kind of dumb piety. There were also films like Stanley Kubrick's The Shining that took the genre and momentarily twisted it into a new shape. A grown man replacing the possessed child, a telepathic elderly African-American cook standing in, kind of, for the absent Catholic priest. Even so, the standard holy water and crucifix shockers have remained most popular. Writer-director Scott Derrickson has made a couple of these, The Exorcism of Emily Rose in 2005 and Sinister in 2011, a film so obviously in awe of The Shining you felt sorry for it. Now, with Deliver Us From Evil, he's mixing things up a little, melding an exorcism story with a hard-bitten cop thriller and adding a dash of buddy comedy. Eric Banner plays Bronx cop and lapsed Catholic Ralph Sarchi, a real-life guy, the film's credits remind us. He thinks he's seen it all and has the thousand-yard stare and failing marriage to prove it. Olivia Munn, playing his wife, puts in a sympathetic performance in what's a wafer-thin character. But when Ralph encounters a woman who throws her baby into a lion enclosure at the local zoo while babbling in Latin, he knows he's not dealing with your average crack addict. Helping him get to the bottom of it all are two characters who represent polar opposites. The film's earnest voice is a Jesuit priest played by Edgar Ramirez, who also happens to be a leather jacket-wearing, hard-drinking ex-junkie. The light relief comes from a wisecracking wingman, comic actor Joel McHale, who you'll recognise from the TV series Community. Both of these characters are an attempt to inject some irreverence into proceedings and perhaps some black comedy. Watch Sam Raimi's 2009 film Drag Me to Hell to see how that's done. The unintended result is that sometimes the film doesn't appear to take itself seriously enough. It begins, after all, with an explosive battle scene prelude in Iraq, which sets up the central metaphor of how war ravages the innocent back home. Admittedly, Joel McHale delivers a couple of off-colour lines that do raise a chuckle, but it's not the kind of setup that inspires comedy. And when he does crack wise, it's like the film doesn't believe in the horror. When genres start to lose their potency, filmmakers need to reinvent the imagery. Think of how the spaghetti western breathed new life into the cowboy movie. Perhaps the most innovative possession films to come out of America in recent years are the Paranormal Activity movies, which eschew the traditional horror movie aesthetic and are based on the found footage conceit that drove the Blair Witch Project to such success. These are movies masquerading as video footage filmed by the victims themselves. You can still recognise the horror conventions, the haunted shadowy house, the demonic power that targets the most vulnerable family members. But it's the ordinariness of the handheld camera work, the beige suburban settings and the naturalistic acting that give the films a stark creepiness. Of course, the high cinematic horror that Deliver Us From Evil attempts to conjure with some moderate success still has a place. There are some entertaining scares here as Eric Banner wanders around another dark, cramped apartment uncovering demonic writing on the walls or a decomposing corpse. But it takes a deft hand to reinvigorate well-worn material, and Scott Derrickson doesn't show the skill to play it straight, nor the head for novelty, to give this the twist it deserves. Deliver Us From Evil is out now. Coming up, Eric Banner.
I've experienced two types of evil in this life, Officer Sarchi. Secondary evil, the evil that men do, and primary evil, which is something else entirely.
You think she's possessed? I've seen some horrible things, but nothing that can't be explained by human nature.
Then you haven't seen true evil.
Eric Banner is one of Australia's most successful actors, a performer whose ability to straddle comedy and drama was apparent from the first two films he made in this country, The Castle and Chopper. In Hollywood, he's played an assorted cast of hard men, cops, warriors, and even the Hulk. He does suit playing an archetype, I think, a character with bold, simple contours that he can make his own. And the brooding, gruff detective Ralph Saatchi is certainly one of these. Eric Banner.
We got to shoot the film in the Bronx, which was a gift. First thing I said to our director was, you know, please tell me we're not shooting this in, you know, Toronto or Vancouver or Sydney even, you know. So it was great to be on location and filming in the real parts. And, you know, I'm playing a guy who grew up in Queens in New York and lived and worked in the Bronx. In terms of accent and in terms of attitude and in terms of swagger, that has to be bang on. There's no kind of like playing that lightly. There's no discounted version of that character. When you're there in the Bronx and you're hanging out with these guys every day and you see what they do and how they work, it's a very, very particular thing. So there's no way you can get that by shooting in another country because you just don't get the access to it. You don't get the access to the authenticity. And so from a production point of view, it's helpful in terms of, you know, just pure production, bang for buck, you can't beat it. And also just for the actors, I think it's just, you know, priceless. Ralph was working on the film in an official capacity as our police advisor, but also was available to me, you know, all through the course of the film and in pre-production, which was, you know, pretty interesting. It can be a awkward moment, you know, when you meet that person that you're going to be portraying, but...
Well, especially this guy, you play him as a pretty imposing character.
Yeah.
Was he imposing to meet?
My version's slightly toned down, trust me. In all honesty, he's probably one of the most intense people I've ever met and a very, very interesting character who's obviously had some incredible experiences. Now, the period that he worked in the Bronx in the 4-6 precinct was designated as the most dangerous square mile in America. And you get a sense of that. I think he was probably born with that sense of tension anyway, but I'm sure it was added to.
Growing up Catholic, you sort of, that's part of the mythology of Catholicism, this notion of the exorcism and so forth. And it's also a key part of popular culture too, with all the films that have been made. Did you ever have any belief one way or the other about this sort of supernatural?
Yeah, it's a really good question because I think like, maybe most of us, my exposure to the subject matter was through cinema, and I didn't really know enough about it. So it was fascinating, both through Ralph, who I'm portraying, and Scott Derrickson, our director, who also directed The Exorcism of Emily Rose and Sinister. He just knows an incredible amount about the genre, but about the subject matter as well, and the religious, cultural, historical aspects to exorcism. So that was really intriguing, and to learn about that in the real sense as opposed to the movie sense definitely opened my eyes and, you know, made the film a lot more interesting.
Were there sort of moments coming back from your childhood or your education at some point freaking you out late at night after some of those stories?
Yeah, for sure. I saw The Exorcist when I was way too young, so I think that's still grinding away in there.
But are you taking a bet each way with regards to, you know, whether or not exorcisms like this are sort of legit and so forth, or did you come away from it having met the real people involved in the story thinking, oh, yeah, there's something to it?
I definitely had my scepticism challenged because in pre-production, Scott and Ralph made available to a couple of us some videotapes that, you know, NYPD file tapes that are not available to the public for very good reason, of some actual exorcisms. And one of them really, really shook me up because it's not at all what you're expecting. It's not someone who's in the middle of a horror film. It's not someone who's writhing and screaming and carrying on. It's someone who's completely still. And I guess as an actor, it was scarier for me because I immediately identified with the fact that it wasn't an actor in the tape, and it really sort of threw me around a bit for a week, I'd say, and just made me a little bit more open-minded. I guess the thing, doesn't really matter what you believe or what you don't believe, that the cold hard facts are that there are some people out there who are really suffering, and no matter what the cause or what your beliefs are, they deserve to be helped or to be heard, and in some cases that's the path that is chosen.
Looking back over your significant career now, in Hollywood, but also in Australia, I'm wondering if you would draw comparisons between the two countries, between the two industries, in terms of the roles you're offered, and are there any roles that you wish you were offered more in either marketplace?
Not really. I never really think about stuff that I don't do, to be honest. It's more a case of there's plenty of times you find great material that you just hope gets made, and that doesn't always happen, especially in the last sort of 5 or 6 years, the industry's changed dramatically, even over there. So, you know.
How so?
In the old days, if you found a great piece of material, it got made, always got made. It's not the case anymore. You know, it's a lot easier to make a $100 million film than it is to make a $15 million film. And this movie sits somewhere in between. This is a kind of 20 to 30 that is very, very hard to get made in this day and age. So
there's been the erosion of that middle ground.
Yeah,
that
erosion of the middle ground, absolutely. Because it's, you know, perceived as being too adult. You know, it's the audience isn't big enough, supposedly. So when you get these opportunities, you go for it. So that's the same for everyone. You know, years ago, it was like a smorgasbord. We'd come into town and you just pick the stuff that you wanted to do off the table, and now even the really great stuff isn't always getting made. So when the good stuff slips through, you really appreciate it.
Eric Banner, Deliver Us From Evil, is out now. If you want to know the best film releasing this week, well, it's Snowpiercer. But that's if you can get to see it. There are only a couple of screens showing it around the country. I've spoken about this film before on the show when it screened at the Sydney Film Festival. It's an ultra-violent, hyper-stylized science fiction allegory, a kind of Noah's Ark story about the survivors of a future ice age who live on a train that circles the globe. Divided into haves and have-nots, it's about what happens when the poor at the back of the train rise up against the elites who live in luxury at the front. Now, those familiar with South Korean filmmaker Bong Joon-ho's darkly comic kinetic films know how good he is with character as well as action. And working in English for the first time, it's interesting to see how well the likes of Chris Evans, John Hurt, Tilda Swinton and Ed Harris fit into his absurdist, highly emotive and poignant brand of action. Snowpiercer is simply a must-see. Another commendation this week is the Australian documentary Once My Mother, in which director Sophia Turkovits delivers a tender, anguished open letter to the elderly mother who, now suffering dementia, often doesn't recognise her. Partly it's the story of an unwed refugee mum from war-torn Poland who arrives in 1950s Australia and struggles to cope. Partly it's a jaw-dropping tale of European history on a grand scale. But perhaps more important is the autobiographical story of the child migrant who spends her early years in an orphanage and later struggles to reconcile two very different worlds while growing up in suburban Australia. The mix of archival material and video footage varies in quality, but the emotional power builds. Turkovits's frank exploration of her own guilt, resentment and embarrassment towards her mother, emotions she partly worked through in drama films like Silver City back in the 80s, raises some thought-provoking questions about Australian attitudes to its working-class, non-English-speaking migrants, and the residues of shame that often continue to haunt their offspring. Once My Mother is on limited release.
When I was 7 years old, you put me in an orphanage. It was here that I learnt to love you and hate you in equal measure. Now, some dark part of my heart still refuses to forgive you.
And that's The Final Cut. I'm Jason DeRosso. I'll see you next week.